Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon. Thank you for joining the investor call related to our planned investment in Thailand. Sorry for letting you wait, but I hope we will be able to catch up as we go through the small deck. Now, you remember we announced mid of last year that we would temporarily mothball our lyocell expansion in Mobile, Alabama, and we promised that by beginning of Q3 we would come back with more news how we would progress. So let's take a step back and just look again on how this fits into our strategy, because the global expansion in lyocell is a major pillar of the Scorch 10 strategy. We made a lot of progress in strengthening the core. We did our pulp expansion, even though the decision in Brazil that we announced for end of this year is still, of course, want to be made. The commercial and operational processes are significantly better. We moved closer to our customers by moving away from agents, doing sales directly, increased our pricing competence substantially. We moved this innovation into the region, and we have decentralized decision-making such that we now have senior management in Singapore, in Hong Kong, in Shanghai, in the UK sitting, that is closer both to sales frontline but also operational frontline. Expansions in Heiligenkreuz and so on, we made already progress in specialty fibers, but particularly the branding and innovation progress was notably, as well as some technological breakthroughs on the forward solution with TensorLux and the Tensor Web technology. But the step to invest into lyocell is, of course, a very substantial one. A key driver for the growth of Lenzing and the changes that we will bring to the textile industry is related to sustainability. I have mentioned it in several bilaterals with you in calls. Our product has a huge advantage in water, it's a factor 20 less than cotton, a huge advantage in the amount of arable land that you're using, a factor 4 less than this cotton. You hardly use any pesticides and so on, whereas that is a big issue in cotton. If you look at biodegradability, it takes 500 years for microplastics and polyester to decompose, whereas you speak a couple of quarters with our fibers. So a lot of advantages. The one area that we did not talk so much a lot was in terms of CO2. Now, we published last week our CO2 reduction targets that we aim by the year 2030 to have per ton of product 50% less CO2 emissions than what we have today, and with the aspiration to become carbon neutral by 2050. Now, three things will really contribute there. The first one is, I would call it green energy sites, where we have a bit like what we have in Lenzing, sites that have per se bioenergy as the basis, that are well integrated. That is, I think, a very important contributor. The second one is innovation, but also the optimized product mix, to invest in those products that have intrinsically a more attractive CO2 footprint than the historic product range of Lenzing with the more commodity viscose, and of course also just energy reduction elements in per se. The reason I mention this again is because the whole discussion about sustainability is one of the major change catalysts in the textile industry. The textile industry in general is still growing nicely, but particularly wood-based cellulosic fibers are growing above average, you know, with some 5 to 6%, and lyocell in specifically, which is today very supply constrained, we expect to grow at around 15% per annum. Next to the product feature specifically, it is the environmental footprint of those products that is very convincing, and where we also believe that long term we have, in terms of branding and consequently pricing power, excellent cards. Now, lyocell expansion. Lyocell is sort of the growth engine that we see for the company. We did execute the smaller debottleneckings in Grimsby and Lenzing in 16 and 17. We finalized the 25,000-ton expansion in Heiligenkreuz. And just to put it into perspective, our competition is still operating in 15,000-ton units. So in total, despite not having yet the large investment, we added more capacity as an individual player as anybody else in the industry. Even so, for us, we felt these are small steps. Now, pretty difficult was the decision then about a year back to temporarily mothball the 90,000 tons expansion in Mobile, Alabama. You remember the discussion was a bit a choice between pest and cholera, because from a market side, we absolutely would have needed it. At the same time, the conditions on the Gulf Coast were such that they were difficult, but also we were a bit afraid of import restrictions into the U.S. Now, that is exactly what unfortunately turned out now to be the case, because as of June, we see major restrictions in both directions towards the U.S. from China, but also from the U.S. into China, and also affecting the tariff numbers of Lyocell. Doesn't impact us now, but would have impacted us a lot if we would now be up and running with the Mobile, Alabama plant. And today we announced to build up to four lines over the years now at our greenfield site in Prachinburi, close to Bangkok in Thailand. In this first phase, we will now start with the construction of the 100,000 ton plant that will be by far the single largest and most competitive Lyocell facility in the world. Small reminder again, why Thailand? Now, the majority of the growth for Lyocell is in Asia, and it is for us essential to have a hub where we can serve all the Asian markets. So, number one, Thailand has excellent relations with China and India and is part of ASEAN, and is part of those excellent relations. They have free trade agreement with China and India, and of course a free trade within the ASEAN. So all relevant growth markets can be supplied from Thailand. Number two, we found very strong and competent local authorities, and specifically I think the support that we received from the Foreign Direct Investment Agency in Thailand. The Board of Investment is I think only matched by the standards of Singapore, and we have scanned more than 30 sites in the regions, but I think very strong professional support. And we also believe we have a good supplier infrastructure to execute the project. Last but not least, it was very much the IP protection topic also that was a major driver for us not to go, for example, at this stage already to China. A couple of facts about the specific location. This is the industry park. It's called Industrial Park 304. It's about an hour and a half away from Bangkok. The total size of the industry park is 360 hectares, has around 100-ish tenants. And what makes it very unique is that next to the plot that we will occupy, there is a big pulp factory, dissolved wood pulp, but today running all in paper pulp, as a called swing mill. And this unit there is also a big bioenergy complex, which will provide us with bioenergy from there. Also, the other infrastructure, specifically around wastewater and water, is excellent, because one of the things in many of the Asian countries is how do you secure long-term water availability. And the water ponds and the water reservoirs are absolutely perfect for us. So that about the site. We announced that this first step is one step at a site that can host at the end four Lyocell plants, and that over the next years, and we were not very specific, but you know sort of our thinking that every 1.5 to 2 years we can add a line there, at least to our market judgment. We will invest over the coming years more than $1 billion at this site. The first phase will be $450 million US dollar for the 100,000 ton plant, but also for the selected infrastructure that we will need for the future plant. So quite some of the outside battery limit, already is designed that we can then add further lines as we go, and the project will be completed end of 2021. Now, the one thing that I would like to add maybe here to the financials before we then go into Q&As, part of the excellent support that we received from the Board of Investment in Thailand was also an agreement on taxes. So for 8 years from startup, we will be on tax rate zero, and for 5 years thereafter, we will be on tax rate 50% of the country's tax rate, which is normally around 25%. Good. I think with that, I would like to close my elucidations and open the call for questions and answers. Operator, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions, only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from Matthias Pfeifenberger, Deutsche Bank.
Yes, good morning, gents. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, on the 1 billion, you mentioned that, I don't know if I did hear it correctly, that you could add four lines in total at this site. Now, can we talk about the 1 billion? It's basically the 400 million. And how can we think about the rest? Is this, I don't know, 200 million for the surrounding infrastructure and 400 million for another line, or how do you think about the 1 billion? And then more broadly, what would be really helpful is maybe a bit of a CapEx trajectory in terms of the conversions you're doing to the higher end grades, and also the 100 million you mentioned in the recent press release for sustainability investments, as well as the pulp mill, which where we don't know really what your burden of the 1 billion will be. So what's the total annual run rate going to be for the next 3 years? Is that something you could quantify at this stage? Thanks a lot.
Okay, maybe, thank you, Mr. Pfeifenberger. Maybe first question concerning the CapEx. I think the 400 million-ish euro, I think the we're not going to split the individual investment, but the reason why we also indicate the 1 billion US dollar over the next years, at least, if you would add another two lines, four lines are going to be there in total. I think by adding two lines, you will reach this, you know, order of magnitude. So that is our thinking. We will not go in more in detail, but I think that should give you a rough guidance of that. So the first line, and that is the key message, is of course more expensive than subsequent lines will be. Now, with respect to a total CapEx outlay, at this stage we will not go in any detail now for the total plan. We have had, in terms of guidance, always that we want to stay below 2.5 net financial debt over EBITDA, but said that very likely in the years of 2021 and 2022, we will be above that target, because next to the run rates and the things that you mentioned now is, of course, also the pulp investment. In the pulp investment, we do speak of a dimension that will be over a billion US dollar. Only, I think, in the fourth quarter, we will then be more specific there. But we are convinced that with the debt capacity, the cash flow of the company, without raising any equity, we can go through this period, and we are working intensely also on how actually our debt structure would look like. But I think we will go in more detail into this when we then speak about the pulp plant, because everything we are talking here about is, I think, you know, very solidly within the limits that we have set ourselves.
Okay, thanks a lot. Very helpful. Can I just clarify, when you say next years, is that more than 2 years for the 1 billion, or is that, could that also be 2 years? And then also, You mentioned this pulp mill today. So can we assume that Brazil is still very firmly intended and that it's not being replaced by some supply agreement in Thailand, right?
I think number one, no, this will be more than 2 years. I've always said between 1.5 to 2 years is a good time frame in which you could add a 100,000-ton unit. The reason why I'm a bit cautious to be, let's say, in either direction to say it can be much longer but shorter, is because Lenzing has been very much the market maker of this industry, and a lot of the constraint of growth has been due to availability. And I think we need to see how more availability might open up the growth curve to the upper side. So that's why I'm a bit cautious. But I think overall, the billion, we should think that this is more the time frame of the 1.5 to 2 years per line. Now, and the second one, yes, indeed, we think that the investment case and the environment in Brazil and the project that we're following there is a great project, and our working hypothesis is that we will do that. But of course, we need still to finalize all the things that I've mentioned in my previous calls.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
The next question is from Stefan Trubrich from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Quick follow-up on that. So to clarify, this 1 billion investment in Thailand, this program will give you then probably at least 300,000 tons incremental lyocell supply. Is this correct?
That's correct.
And this means that if you start now, that this 1 billion is something that we will see then in terms of cash outflow, probably until the year still being stretched until 2024, 2025, right? If you add every, let's say, other year, another 100,000 tons.
Yeah, in the way the cash flows with some of those big investments work, I would say 25, 26, because you typically still have quite some cash out once the plant is already running.
Okay, this is good. And so basically, with knowing this 400 million now for the Thailand step or plant number one, is the CapEx then in 2020, 2021, let's say around 300 million euros, obviously excluding the pipe project in Brazil here?
Again, as I said, the specific CapEx guidance, you need to wait, Mr. Trubik, that we will do then together with the pulp project. I think in grand schemes, you're not completely off in your arithmetic of what it means for the individual plant. But again, that is more to give guidance rather than to speak precisely about it.
Okay, and maybe then coming to fiber pricing, because we have seen in recent weeks, in particularly in cotton, prices declining strongly. Also, viscose prices have not recovered from their lows. I mean, in recent days, there is an uptick. But I've just seen a data point that the import prices for lyocell and Modal into China have been extremely robust and strong for May. And this is already against the backdrop of a collapsing cotton price. Can you give us an indication or some comfort for June as well? Is your specialty portfolio more resilient, and has it weathered this decline in cotton as well? Can you give us some color here for June?
I can. So I think indeed, if you look at the environment at the moment, all fibers have strongly declined in their prices. We saw it in cotton. Viscose is probably as bad as we have seen it for, I think, 10 years. But our specialty prices do extremely well. We have, I think, seen not a dent down, and we will continue to follow the development closely. But I think I think for the year of 2019, I think we are in very, you know, comfortable environment. I think we are still doing very strong. Even so, we see on viscose demand being strongly impacted, I think, also by the U.S.-China discussion. We see for Lyocell and our Modal business still, it's very robust. I feel extremely proud on where we stand, and I think the recent months give us a lot of confidence. Hello, operator. Hello?
Hello. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. The next question is from the line of Sebastian Bray from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I have one. With the reference to the capacity of Lenzing coming to market in 2021, is this almost as if the facility is opening in December and actually this is not something where there should be any substantial earnings uplift expected for the year because of ramp-up costs at AU, or do 2021 numbers need to start factoring this in? As a second, as a sort of mini follow-up to that, the Lyocell capacity expansions of competitors like Baoding or other or Biela, could you give an idea of when these are due to come to market according to your own market intelligence and the magnitude of these expansions if available? Thank you.
Number one, in terms of ramp-up costs, I think it is indeed fair to assume that don't add in 2021, a lot of business uplift is really 2022, where we should see the full effect of that. That's one, I think, in terms of capacity by our peers. We see, indeed, smaller units being announced from, you mentioned a couple. And we, in general, would expect that over the next years, we will see significant investment also in Lyocell in Asia. That will be also, I think, over the next 4 to 5 years, I think not just those companies. We see a bit of a mushrooming, I would say, with smaller players in China. How much of that actually will then in the end be finalized and done, I think needs to be seen. We have always said that we probably have a couple of year advantage. When we made the strategy in 15, we were expecting that in 20 we would be in full-fledged competition with China. We are not there yet, but I think in 21, 22, 23 we will see capacity being added, and that will be, I think, in order of magnitudes of 200,000 ton that we believe that we should see in this time frame.
And just to clarify on this, if you've given a 15% market growth rate and you have 100 kilotons of capacity yourself coming, let's say, in 2 years' time, and then there's another 200 kilotons potentially added by Chinese competitors, is it possible that you end up with a short-term period of oversupply for lower grades of Lyocell around 2022 if these capacity expansions materialize as planned?
Oh, absolutely. I think we will have oversupply also in this product in the future. That is, for me, I think, certain. Our pricing power in this market is really based on three things. One element is, of course, the I think our market position in general and supply demand. The second one is our brand. I think that we just get retailers to specify Tencel, and that I think is long-term probably one of the most also value-enhancing steps that we still have ahead of us in terms of the premium we can get over competition. And number three, Lyocell is not Lyocell. You have different grades of Lyocell, and even though we will get more competition on standards. I think it's the proliferation of SKUs that will be there. But I think in essence, yes, we will get in the future also more competition, but we look pretty relaxed at that.
All right. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Laura Lopez Pineda from Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, the majority of the questions have been answered, but just one more. You mentioned the current situation in the trade with the trade tariffs, the pressure increasing between China and the US. So can you maybe confirm again that your current capacities in North America are not being let's say, impacted by that? So does this mean that the majority of your production is also sold in North America or in other regions outside of Asia? So that would be interesting to know. Thanks.
Yes, we are not impacted by it for two reasons. Number one, a substantial part of the current volume is being sold in parts outside Asia. The thing that go to Asia and in part even to China are then delivered to so-called bonded zones, where the product thereafter is again then re-exported, and so then you're not being affected, or our customers are not being affected by that. So the impact for Lenzing is nil.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question, there's a follow-up question, sorry, from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thanks again. So just to come back to the three incremental lines that you are planning with the 1 billion, the 300,000 tons, I mean, you're now saying you expect oversupply. So what are you going to do if that materializes? Are you going to only do two plants, or what's the... Or are you just confident that your cost positions are superior and you will take the share of the market? And then also back to the exceeding the 2.5 times maximum leverage. Now, I think without the conversions and the CO2 investment, is not really that easy to get to a net debt level of 1.1 billion, right? So what are the incremental costs you expect from the conversions in China and Lenzing, and also the other investments you might have in the top of your head?
Okay. With respect to capacity addition, I think we are, from a cost position, from a quality position, from a market entry position, extremely well equipped to say when we bring capacity to the market, we will have, I think, very good cards. What I would add to that is that with our Tencel branding, we are yet at the beginning, even though we are, in comparison to many other ingredient brands, extremely well enhanced, advanced. If you take today Gore-Tex, Lycra, Coolmax, Sympatex, and Tencel, we are globally today on number three level. We are in China today number two level, and that for a brand that is still considered very young. And why we are particularly excited is there is no brand in terms of an ingredient brand out there that captures a bit more emotional space of sustainability. Now, that is not necessarily the easiest positioning, but the way we are attacking this with functionality plus making a conscious choice, we believe we are in the sweet spot there. That is, it's going to take time, but that I think will be an enormous plus for us going forward, because if you look at the delta today between commodity products and ingredient branded products, you see substantial deltas that go way above 100% in certain instances compared to the generic product. Now, there we are with Tencel still at the very beginning of using this as the defensive shield going forward. So we feel we are very well positioned. We frankly, I even think it is very helpful to have some more competition in this market, because it will help the adoption of the product, because intrinsically, Lyocell should have a much, much larger share of the 100 million ton fiber market than it has today. Because from a cost position, functionality, and particularly environmental perspective, it's the fiber of choice.
But is it fair to say you would also be happy to live with a certain lower price level compared to today, especially for the standard tensor grades, and especially when considering that your dissolving wood pulp position will potentially decrease a lot with the Brazil expansion?
Oh, yes, we are working also very actively on our own cost position, and I think that is something that our customers in a different environment will partly participate in. But I think in terms of the profitability of this business, we are very confident on the long run.
Yeah.
Good. With respect to the investments, I already made the comment. We will come with more granularity when we do the pulp investment. I know that is something that I think would add a lot of clarity. I would like to ask for your patience for the fourth quarter then.
Mm-hmm.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Gunther Icke from Icke Trade International. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the call. My question are about ESG, and you mentioned a lot about Thailand. Eva, I was never there, but your factories will be built near the border of Laos, I think, and it is more to the west. And what is about their typhoons and such things? We often see on the television disastrous pictures about Thailand and other regions. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the investigations with respect to the plant site were, of course, very critical in the final choice. We are not close to the to Laos. We're about an hour and a half away from Bangkok. The whole site is slightly elevated, so also in terms of flooding danger and so on, you're in very safe ground. And Thailand had in the past, we just think some years back, also flooding that affected quite some car players at the time at the site. So from a total environment, I think you're in pretty good territory. You're not very close to the coast, so also there we feel good. No, so I think from all the investigations that we did, I think it is also in terms of natural disaster risk, it is a very good choice.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand back to Stefan Dobotsky for closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you all for joining this call. It's for us at Lenzing a very important and big step. I think it underpins our commitment to grow the company organically in the area of specialties and will be a big step to add further resilience and earnings power to the company. Thanks for joining and have a good day.